Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to be gathered here once again in our Father's house, and today we get to celebrate our freedom. That freedom's not until the fourth, that's Tuesday. Today we're celebrating our freedom in Christ, the freedom that Jesus earned for us on the cross, the freedom from sin, death, and the devil, the freedom to know that we are, our eternal destination is certain because of what our Jesus has done for us. And so as we gather, let us pray out to him and invite and just thank him for this morning and thank him for inviting us into his presence. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, a day that has been created so that we can worship you, Lord, with our lives, with our words, with our actions, with everything, Lord, that we are. Lord, I pray that you would be here among us today. Send your spirit to work in our hearts that we may understand your word and that we may, and that you may, Lord, work in us to apply it, to show us where the work needs to be done, to show us where we need to turn ourselves over to you in even greater ways, Lord, so that you can have us fully. Thank you for loving us so much. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time for us to confess our sins, correct? Very good. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praise to our God.
Story. morning. My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders, and it's my privilege to read the scripture for you today. Our reading is Acts chapter 4, 1 through 22. I really like this because John and Peter are a great example of being witnesses for Jesus for us. So, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there. So were Caiaphas, John Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you are the people of Israel, and it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in his name." They called them again and commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for today is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." It is now time for the children's message. So, kids, if you come forward at this time, let's see here. Oh, I have the children's message today. Come on down, guys. All right. How are you guys doing today? Good? Outstanding. Did you like the storm last night? Was it kind of fun? No. Not so much?
No, my power was out.
Yeah. Your power was out? Oh, man. Is that a long time? Yeah, that's tough. But, yeah, okay. Anyway, so let's see here. Okay, first of all, let's see. Did you guys hear the reading that we just did today? We just read about it and said, it basically said this. It said if we do the things that are right, we probably won't get in trouble for it, right? Does that make sense to you? Who here has gotten in trouble for something you did right? Anybody? Who here has gotten in trouble for something you did wrong? I have two. Yeah, it happens. So thing is that what Jesus is trying to tell us, or what God's trying to tell us in this verse, is he's saying, if you do the right things, you're most likely not going to get in trouble. Does that always work? Not always, right? Like, imagine that you had your parents tell you, I don't want you to leave the house. I want you to stay here, okay? I don't want you to go play at the neighbor's house or anything. I just want you to stay at home. And then your parents, like, go out and they're working in the yard and stuff. They're not watching you real close. And your friend comes over and says, hey, why don't you come to my house? What are you going to say? You're going to say, no. Is that the right thing to do?
Yes.
What if your friend gets really mad at you for it? And they get really mad at you, and like you're in trouble with your friend now. Is that very nice? Could it happen though? It could. So in that case, you actually got in trouble for doing what was right. Do you think that could happen in life? It could happen a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of times when that could happen. And the thing is that what does Jesus want us to do? Does he want us to keep doing what's right?
Yes.
Even if it's hard.
Even if it's
really difficult and people don't like us.
Yes.
Yes. Over and over and over, he wants us to do what is right. Why? What's more important, what Jesus says or what other people in the world say?
What Jesus says.
Every single time, right? Does Jesus ever tell us to do anything that's not good for us? Does he ever tell us to do something that is not good? No. Does he, and do we want to make our Lord happy?
Yes.
Because he was so good to us and because he died on the cross for us?
Yes.
Yes. And that's what the lesson is today. That we're supposed to do the right thing no matter what. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Can we pray? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for giving us your word so that we can know what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be brave and do it no matter what. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. It is now time for a little worship. And so if you guys go meet the cross in the center aisle, as long as it's okay with your parents, you guys are going to get a lesson for you and the rest of us. Let's open up God's word right here. All right, well, it is the Sunday where we celebrate our freedom, not just the freedom in Christ, but also our freedom in our country. And that's an amazing thing if you think about it, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of important on a day like today to go all the way back in time to the very foundations of our country when we were still a colony under England, and the people were organizing, trying to resolve the conflicts that they had with good old King George, and it just wasn't working out. And so finally the people decided that they were going to have to forcefully rebel. And the question is, here's the history test for today, okay? What was it that the people wanted to be freed from? What was it? Taxation without? Yeah, and there was a British guy that came over here and he was talking on the radio and he goes, so how's the taxation with representation working out for you? But regardless, that was one of the big things, is the taxation without representation. A big deal, right? Anything else? How about just all the crazy laws that kept coming from the king in England, right? I mean, just this crazy stuff. How about the soldiers that were like, you know, when the king sent soldiers from England to the United States, where did those soldiers live? In people's houses. Did the people like this? Who had to feed those soldiers? the people with whom they were living. I mean, this was not really great, right? There was a whole bunch of reasons that the colonists wanted to be freed from the English rule. Then we fought a war and we got our freedom, right? And the big question then is, now what? Now that you have your freedom, now that you can self-govern, now that you can do your own thing, you can make your own plans, you can have your own way, you can live your own lives, now what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? So look back at the last 250 years and think, what have people done with their freedom? Have some people done wonderful things with their freedom? Have some people done terrible things with their freedom? And the question is, what do we do with our freedom? What do we individually, what are we going to do with the freedoms and liberties that God has provided for us through this incredible nation in which we live? And as I said earlier today, this service is to celebrate 4th of July. There's no question there, but mostly, as in every Sunday, this service is to celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ. And those two things are kind of connected, aren't they? Except there are some differences. Like when we wanted freedom from England, who did the fighting? The people did the fighting, right? I mean, there was people who had to stand up and volunteer to fight in the militias that were fighting off the British troops, and there was a lot of people who had to sacrifice great things so that we could establish our freedom in our country. But when it comes to our freedom that we have in Christ, who did the work? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, is that we were living in sin, and sin means that we are captured by our old nature, captured by our sinful human fallenness, captured by that sin, and that we are in a place where there is no escape on our own from it, because the sin is not just something that we do. It's not just external deeds that we do. The sin goes right to the core of who we are. The reason that we do sin, Jesus teaches this. He says the reason we do sin is because what's on the inside is what comes out. That if we could be perfect on the inside, every single action and word that we ever did or spoke would be perfect. But since we are corrupt right to the core, everything we do is also corrupted. And I've given this illustration before, right? Because, you know, we think, well, I've done good things. And I'm like going, have you? It's good to know. But were those good things corrupted or uncorrupted, right? And, you know, who here has done dishes for your mom? Who here did dishes for your mom so that mom would say yes later when you were about to ask her for something? Right? Moms, dads, who disciplines your children in the Lord so that they will grow up to be fine Christian men and women? Yeah? Who did this because otherwise it's really embarrassing when they act out in public? You see how this is? Now, did we have good motivations in there as well? But we also had corrupted, selfish, self-serving things that wove right into those good deeds, which means that they're not completely good. Right? And what do we call something that's not completely good? We call it corrupted. We call it sin. It's wrong. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is that we were in a position where we couldn't save ourselves. There was nothing we could do to fix this because we are the problem. The problem goes right to the core of who we are, and there is nothing we can do to save us from ourselves because we are That's just the nature of the problem. And so Christ saved us. He took our sin. He exchanged his perfect life that he lived in our place, and he exchanged that perfection for our sin. He took that sin upon the cross and died on the cross guilty of every sin that ever has been committed and ever will be committed. And he paid the price in full. So that now when Christ, our Father looks at us, and when we are judged, we are wearing the righteousness that Jesus gave us, and our sin has been paid for, and we are free from the curse of sin. We are free from the penalty that is death, and not just like end of life temporal death, but eternal death in hell. We are rescued and we are free. And that is an immense, incredible, crazy thing. That God has loved us so much that he made it possible for us to have a completely changed existence, a completely changed life, as he says it, a new life, a rebirth, a baptism, washed clean, new, no sins attached. And that's what he gives us. And so now I ask, what are you going to do with your freedom? I mean, what's the next thing? I mean, okay, so now you're free, and we know what you're freed from. You're freed from the curse of sin and death. You're freed from fear of eternal hell. You're freed from the guilt of the sin that you carry with you all the time. You're freed from all that. But what are you freed to do? Because in both cases, July 4th and Easter, we were freed. But we weren't just freed from, we were freed to. When it comes to our self-governance, when it comes to living in this country, we were freed to vote. We were freed to be responsible citizens. We were freed to be actively involved in our government. We were freed to be good neighbors to the people around us. We were freed to love each other. And did we do that? Well, I mean, yeah. Where did all the hospitals come from? Anybody know? You know what I mean? There was a time in this country where hospitals were not a thing. And now you go out into the world and there's hospitals everywhere. Where did the hospitals come from? Yeah, mostly within the church, but yeah, people come together, right? And they say, we got to do something about this. And I love it because that's like an example of both, right? It's an example of having the freedom to govern ourselves and the freedom to gather together and the freedom to accomplish things. And then our freedom, our legal liberty, our civil freedoms are exercised and led, guided by the freedom that we have in Christ. And what are we told to do with the freedoms in Christ? What are we supposed to do? Yeah, it's like this. Jesus says, they came up and they said, Jesus, what is the summary of the law? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So, with the freedoms that you have been given, how are we to live? We are to live loving God, which is why we're all here today, right? We're here to learn from God and to grow from and to be served by God this morning so that we can go out into the world and serve God out there. But we are also freed so that we can love each other. And loving each other, I've told you before, it's work. It's hard. For years and years and years, Christians loved each other by setting up orphanages and loving little children, right? Today, we love the little children by having a school, by having a children's ministry, by having a youth ministry. By supporting parents as you guys raise your children, by supporting grandparents as you guys grandparent your children, and that is a thing. There is a lot of work that is still left to be done in the world, a lot of people that our God has surrounded us with, people that we are free to love because our God has filled us with that love. And understand the grace with which God loves us, that when we were undeserving, Jesus loved us and died for us. When we were still selfish and sinful, when we were still focused much more upon our own desires than anybody else, even God himself, Jesus loved us in that fallen, messed up, wicked state and died for us so that we could be resurrected from that life of death and come into a place where we are filled with his love, and that love overflows into the world around us. What that means is this: we have been freed so that we can give. I think a lot of times in this world we forget about that. We think in terms of our own self-care, our own needs, our own desires, our own dreams. There's a radical new thing in this world today called retirement, and the age keeps getting younger for everything. It's like, you know, now it's like, hey, if you can retire in your mid-50s, that's like amazing. And I'm not going to knock it. I mean, if I could, that'd be kind of fun. I could get into this. But I think that idea of retirement has infected a lot of the way we operate in this world, that we kind of get this idea that, you know, for, you know, 20 or 30 years, we give back and we work hard and we do all the things we're supposed to do. But then when it comes to a certain age, we don't have to do anything anymore. We're done. You know, it's sort of like we're in Christian retirement now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, you know, God got his use out of us, and now we can just sit back and relax. And I don't think that's how it works. I'm fairly certain that we're Christians for our entire lives, and that we are freed to love other people, not just for a certain portion of our lives, and then that we can, like, focus on ourselves, but that we would love God and focus on him with every breath until we stop breathing. That Christian retirement means heaven, right? And so what I'm saying is this, is that I think we have to be really careful. And I think there's an issue on the other side of life too, which is people say, I'm not old enough to serve yet. You know, there's nothing I can do to contribute to God and his kingdom. Is that true? I just took a bunch of high schoolers to Navajo, you know, down to the reservation, and they served. They served hard. They worked in the hot sun. It was pretty amazing. They did some really significant stuff, and they're teenagers. You know what? Our school, we do service days at our school, and the kids go out, and now they don't do as much as the high schoolers, but can they do stuff? Can they pick up trash? Can they, like, plant flowers? Can they do things that are going to bless God and his kingdom? Can anybody serve? The thing is that I really think that when we talk about freedom, we are really focused on the freed from. And we don't think an awful lot about the freed to. And my question for you today is, what is God calling you to do? And there are many good deeds that God calls you to do. And what God tells us in this text for today is he says this. He goes, look, you're supposed to do good things. Is that a shock to anybody? Not so much. But he says, who's going to harm you if you do what is good? Well, if the world makes any sense at all, who's going to give you trouble if you do good things? Nobody. Is that the world we live in? Not so much. Sometimes you speak truth and people don't like you for it, right? It's not new, right? John and, you know, John and Peter In the first reading for today, what were they doing? Preaching about Jesus. Is that a good thing? It is the best thing, right? It is the thing that is going to radically change people, and the church continued to grow because the Holy Spirit worked through the word that they preached, and the church continued to grow, and it was an amazing thing. And the leaders of the people did not like it because this was not their plan. This was not how they wanted this to work out. And so their plan was to tell Peter and John to stop. Just stop it. Don't talk about this. Don't mention this anymore. Has anybody heard anything like that in culture today? You know, if you're a Christian, that's fine. You can be a Christian inside your heart. You can go to church on Sunday, but stop talking about it. Anybody hear that? What's the answer? Well, let's remember the children's message, right? What did Jesus tell us to do? What is the commission that Jesus gave each and every one of us is that we are to share the gospel. We're supposed to witness our faith. We're supposed to tell people what God has done in our lives. We're supposed to share with people what the Bible says, how God has set us free through these words of Scripture, through the life and death and resurrection of Christ. We need to speak this stuff. We need to share it. And what if the world wants us to be quiet? We speak it anyway. You know what? There was a guy. He's named Dr. Xi, and he lived in China. And the last story I read about him was like right near the turn of the millennium, about 2002. He'd been in trouble constantly. I mean, he started a ministry, and right away the communists within China started coming down on him and trying to stop him, intimidate him. But he wouldn't be stopped. He wouldn't be intimidated. Finally, the government welded the doors of his church shut, and then later burned it down. They arrested him and put him in jail, or not in jail, but in the work camp, you know how it is. And they, but he got out again, and as soon as he got out again, what did he do? He went right back to preaching again. Actually, even in jail, he kept preaching to the other people who were in jail with him. You understand this? I mean, did he ever stop? And that was his creed. That's what he said. He said, when he was talking to people after he'd been released from prison, he said this. He said, I will never stop preaching the gospel as long as I am alive. I will never stop. The guy started carrying a bag with him everywhere he went because he knew he was going to get arrested again. And so he had his blanket and his pillow and his Bible and a few other things in a bag. So he was ready to go back to jail at any time. And he just said, this is it. This is how I'm going to live. Regardless, I am going to proclaim the name of Christ. I will proclaim it if I'm free. I will proclaim it if I'm in a work camp. I will proclaim it no matter what. And you know, he also said something else. He says, you know, perhaps I should be praying for the Christians who are not being persecuted. Because in your freedom, we sometimes forget that we are fighting a spiritual war. We're not fighting against unbelievers. We're fighting against the one who deceives people into unbelief. We're fighting against the evil in the world. We're fighting against the devil. And the devil is fighting against us. And the devil is fighting against God. The truth is this: if we proclaim Christ, we can expect resistance, we can expect persecution. That's not the same as saying, go out and be obnoxious while you're witnessing. You know, there are some people who the way they witness is actually noxious. You know, stand on the corner and scream at people at a baseball game. Not exactly the image we're going for here. You know, relational evangelism, actually getting to know people and to be able to help people walk through their life rather than just like casting guilt and despair upon people. But that we would constantly use every opportunity to gently and lovingly share the message of salvation with the people around us. And that if threats come, we deal with them as best we can. Even if it's packing a bag so that you're ready to go to jail. I think in the church today we need a theology of getting fired. Isn't that the big bat that they hold over us all the time now? If you don't comply, you're going to lose your job. And what does that cause us? That causes us fear. It causes us concern. It causes us like, how am I going to provide for my family? How? And let me just ask, who provides for us? Can God provide for us with a job? Can God provide for us without a job? Do you believe that? Do you believe it enough that if your job is keeping you from being able to share your faith? Do you believe it enough to be willing to get fired? Faith has consequences. Thing is this, is God good for it? Is the God that walked the children of Israel in 40 years in the wilderness, feeding them manna from heaven, quail, water from rocks, think that God's good for it? Can he provide for us today? The world's a crazy place. The world has all kinds of fears and threats that it likes to throw at us. But we never forget who God is, and we never forget who he has made us to be. He rescued us. He made us his own. He says he will always be with us. He says he will not give us things that are bigger than we can handle, because he is with us. We live in his strength, and we can't compromise with the world. We say what's true. We do what's right. We follow Jesus, and we always humbly share the gospel. When people treat us terribly because we share the gospel, do we treat them terribly in return? We treat them just the way Jesus treated us when we were still in our sin, when we didn't deserve grace. He gave us grace anyway. We give them grace. We love them. We continue to witness to them. We use every opportunity. Yay, 4th of July. But life is serious. Our freedoms and liberties are serious. Both the freedoms and liberties we have in Christ and the freedoms and liberties we have in this country. Let's make the most of every opportunity that our God has given us, so that we can bring him glory and more people can come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, show us, lead us, guide us, give us words to say. Open up our eyes so that we see the opportunities that are before us to share your gospel, to share your love, to love people with word and action, Lord, at every opportunity. Lord, we repent for the times we fall short, and we pray that you would give us strength, that we would overcome those weaknesses. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work in and through us. Give us your words. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is now time to continue in our worship service. And as we continue, we are going to receive the offering. As the offering is collected, please record your attendance in the folders you find near you, and let us sing praise to our God.
Jesus Christ, our Lord. She is the creation by water.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, my friends, let us pray today. And as we pray, we want to hold in prayer, especially Jim Moss and Mary Borgschulte as they continue to struggle against their infirmities. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us, Lord, this day when we can turn to you and receive from you your wisdom and your word, where we can receive your forgiveness that you have earned for us, Lord, that we are able to be your children because you have adopted us. You have made us your own. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage of knowing that that we serve you, and that when we struggle, when we struggle, Lord, that you are with us to give us strength and to help us through those struggles, Lord, and also that when we face resistance, Lord, it's no different from the resistance that your son Jesus faced as he did his ministry. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we face the trials and difficulties of our lives, Lord. But today we pray especially for Jim and Mary, Lord, as they struggle with their sicknesses and their pain. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each of them, Lord. Help them as they receive care from the doctors, Lord. I pray that you would help them to become stronger and more able to enjoy this life that you have given them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our nation as well, Lord. Thank you for giving us this place in which we live. Lord, I pray that you would help us to use our freedom well, Lord, so that we can influence our government and that this government can continue to be one that serves the people and serves the truth. Lord, I pray that you would be with our leaders, Lord. Guide them, help them, continue to give them courage to do what is right so that your people may be blessed. Lord, I pray that you would be with our congregation as we continue to work in to do your work in this world. Lord, help us as we reach the lost. Help us as we teach those, Lord, the faith. Help, Lord, I pray that you would be within each and every one of us so that each of us can continue to grow closer to you, knowing of your promises and taking peace in the promises that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would be with our teachers, Lord, as they enjoy some rest this summer, that they would be prepared and motivated, Lord, to go back into the challenges and difficulties, Lord, of the continually producing lesson plans and all the grind that comes with the new year. Pray that you would bless them with a passion and a love for the children and a passion and a love for your truth so that your children can be raised in you. Lord, all these things we bring to you, Lord, knowing that you hear us because of the death and resurrection of your son and the fact that you have made us your children. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Precious blood has washed away the stain. the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain,
my friends, we have once again, according to the word of God, received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this incredible gift of his body and blood, we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Our God is amazing. He blesses us, and he has blessed us once again. Depart in his peace in accordance with his word. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. And this song, you know, again, sometimes we forget we're at war. You know, we're not at war with people. We're at war with the evil in the world, the sin in the world, and the devil, and the sin within ourselves. You know, we're at war because this stuff doesn't belong here, and we are children of God, and God is at war with this stuff. And so it's a great song to remind us that we are Christians marching to war and that we follow him, the one who died for us. Let's sing. Well, that was a great introduction to a different song. Anyway, that's hilarious. I'm telling you what. All right, very good. Well, a few announcements. Have a seat, please. A few announcements, really short today. First of all, Dine to Donate, which would normally happen tomorrow night, is not going to happen this month because it's really tied close to the 4th of July. And yeah, he just said, please don't make us come to work. So that's basically what that's about. And then let's see here. Go. My dad's Bible study that happens usually on Tuesday night is going to Wednesday night. It's still wrong in the bulletin. We will get that fixed. And then, yes, the second notice, we have a call meeting coming up next week. Basically, we have Josh Rusnick. Pastor Josh Rusnick is a pretty cool guy that we were able to meet, who's able to meet all of our staff, and we were the call committee is recommending that the congregation call him as our associate pastor, which would be a relief to me. But I know lots of people have questions, and I want you to have questions. I don't want you to just take everything I say as gospel truth. I'm just a guy like everybody else. And so I want you to have the opportunity to do that. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to approach me, approach Steve Kasten, approach Jake Petrie, who's not here this morning. He told me he wasn't going to be here this morning. And those are some people that you can talk to about the details of this whole thing. And of course, at the call meeting, which is going to be after the service next Sunday, we'll have opportunity to ask and ask questions and receive answers there as well. Does that make sense? Outstanding. This is a majorly important decision that churches make. Calling a pastor is a really big deal. And so we want to make sure that everybody is, you know, up to date and feeling comfortable with the answers to questions before we do it. I don't like the idea of anybody doing it, you know, flippantly or lightly. So ask any questions you have. All right? With that, God's blessings on your week, and I will see you in the back of the church as you leave.